this parable.
When I reread it and reread it and reread it, I thought to myself, what on earth possessed me to offer this parable as part of this series that we're doing called The Master's Stories? I realise, of course, that it follows the parable of the two sons in chapter 15, and that's why I chose it. But goodness me, it's a curly one, isn't it? A curly one. Two questions. What's it really about? And what can we, of course, learn from it, as we like to do with all of Scripture? What's it about? What can we learn? How do we apply it to our living? So Jesus tells about a rich man who had a manager whom he heard of, who was possibly stealing from him. So he calls him in, calls the guy in and says, show me the books. Show me the books. And then, of course, the real swindle begins. This guy knows that the game is up. He's out on his ear. He's too proud to beg and too physically challenged to go off labouring. So he devises a plan. A window of opportunity opens up for him, and he calls his boss's debtors in one by one and he says, here, I'll write your debts down. I'll write your debts down to my boss just to show you what a good bloke I am. Thinking, when I get fired for malpractice, these people for whom I've written off these debts or reduced their debts at the expense of my boss will be my friends, and they're going to help me out and support me in the future. So what he's doing is he's building up collateral. No social services back then. He had to do something or beg. So he's building up collateral, and once these deals are signed, there's no going back. They're fixed. Now, this part of the story, I get. I get it. It happens. There's a lot of deceit out there in the world. This kind of stuff we hear about regularly. It's no surprise to us. Of course, we only hear about the ones who get caught out. How much does that happen in our world? But then comes the next part of the story, and this is a different story altogether. Jesus says the boss calls in the thieving, swindling employee and says to him, great work, you little crook. I wish everyone in my company showed as much initiative and creativity as you, but you're still sacked anyway. So what on earth can Jesus mean for us to learn by telling us this parable? Most people say it is the most confusing, perplexing stories that Jesus ever told. And I tend to agree with that. How on earth could Jesus be in a position of commending or praising immoral criminal behaviour? Here seems to be a story about lack of honesty and integrity, the very opposite of the values that our parents instilled in us when we were children, and the very opposite of what we have come to value as ethical imperatives of the Christian faith. Well, first of all, we know from the character of Jesus throughout the Gospels and from what he taught that Jesus isn't telling this story to us in order for us to go and do likewise. Jesus isn't really commending this man for his crookedness. As far as I can tell, the key to understanding this parable is twofold. Firstly, Jesus commends the man for his shrewdness. That's the key word. Jesus is saying that he wished the children of light could be as savvy as these people, this crook. You see, I think what it is it's about resourcefulness. Look how resourceful this fellow is with the limited opportunity that he actually had. Is Jesus really saying here, you know, make the most of what you've got? In the time that you have, make the most of it. Learn a lesson from those unscrupulous people of the world about making the most of the opportunities that are presented to you, although I would add, doing so in an ethical and a moral manner. Secondly, from the concluding remarks about a person's inability to serve both God and money, we see that this is really a story about wealth. Or at least about our attitude to wealth. What the manager is being commended for is the creative way that he used the resources that were available to him. He's already facing the sack. So in some ways, he's no more dishonest in his last action as an employee than he's already been. And he's smart enough to cover his own backside in a way that the boss has no recourse to get back what was owing to him. Now, it's a difficult parable for sure. And I don't want to read more into it what Jesus might have intended. Nor do I want to go down the track of some people who rationalise the story to make the crooked manager appear to be a little more respectable. I've read a number of explanations, but I don't find any of them really very appealing. I'm going to be honest with you and admit that there are aspects of this parable, of this story, where I just am forced to say, I don't get it. I don't get it. But there are some things here that I do get. I do get where Jesus says that those who are faithful in little things will also be faithful in larger things. And likewise, those who are dishonest in small things will most likely be dishonest in larger things. And I think we know that that's what happens. I do get it when Jesus says we cannot serve two masters, for we will love one and hate the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. I do get it where Jesus actually draws our attention to the problem that wealth can be for us. Now, I don't see, as we said last week, I think it was, I don't see that Jesus is condemning wealth per se, but rather he is drawing attention to the issue of whether we will serve God or whether we will serve our wealth. And of course, we often find it helpful to note that there is always someone who is wealthier than we, which conveniently masks the reality that compared to the vast majority of the peoples of the world, we are indeed very rich. But Jesus isn't condemning wealth as such. In fact, I suggest he implies here that we should be creative in the use of the wealth for eternity's sake, for the sake of the kingdom. We only have to turn to the parable of the talents, which are not abilities but measures of money, and large measures of money, in fact. Even one talent was a lot of money. If you remember that story, of course, you will know that the man who received five talents and the man who received two talents were equally praised for their creative investment of the same, whereas one who received just the one talent was roundly condemned for his lack of initiative. And finally, note in verse 14, we see that the Pharisees ridiculed Jesus for telling the story, for his concluding comments. Why? Well, because Luke tells us that they were rich, they were wealthy, and they were lovers of money. Jesus retorts that they are seeking to justify themselves in the sight of others. They may fool others, but they certainly cannot and will not fool God, who sees the heart. And of course, that is also true for us. God sees our heart. He knows where our commitment lies. He knows whether we are using our resources wisely. He knows if we are being honest and about whether we are really serving him or whether we are indeed serving our wealth. Money, as I said last time, money is neutral. It can be used for good and it can be used for bad. Jesus is challenging us, I believe, to be smart when it comes to handling wealth and to ensure that money remains our servant and the servant of the kingdom, rather than allowing money and wealth to become our master. So that's what I take from this parable, and I'd love to hear your comments at some time about how you read that parable. But may we be blessed with the resources that we have. We're blessed with them. Let us use them to be a blessing to others, to use them wisely, to use them creatively for the sake of God's kingdom. Amen.